Oh,
up.
goodness.
You and me. We'll
You
get
and
it.
me, baby. You're listening to Pop the Kettle On with Nicole Essio and Dr. Rachel Bushing.
We are recording remotely and given a go at this remote recording.
Exactly.
Yeah, because, you know, we can't even drive across our city at the moment. So fun times.
It's quite an intense time for us to be recording. We're recording an intense conversation, and we should put a warning up front as well. We're going to be discussing pretty big subjects, not just about what's happening in our lives at the moment, like flooding and you know, a war in Ukraine, and you know, all sorts of things that are going on in the world, but also we're talking today about Brittany Higgins and Grace Tame. And so those are big subjects already. And then we're talking about sexual assault, and we're talking about sexual abuse of children. So just be ready for that. And if you're not ready for that, we will see you next episode.
Yeah, the trauma episode.
A trauma episode, exactly. Yeah. How are you doing, Rach, with flooding and everything? And kids at home, obviously schools are closed.
Yeah. Look, you know, we knew that we don't flood where we are, although we're not far from where it's meters and meters, you know. So, but we're up the hill. So flood-wise, we always knew we were going to be okay. But it's, yeah. You know, actually what broke me was this morning watching footage from Lismore.
Yeah, me too.
Because I never lived in Lismore proper, but I lived in Alstonville, neighbouring Lismore, for 4 years when I was a kid, and a lot of my family are down there. And I think it was just really, it always flooded, it always floods, but I can think about where the 1974 high mark was in that town, and it's so high, and it's 2 metres above that. And
yeah.
It's just awful. And I think, I don't know if it's because when we were going through it, you just kind of like hold it together, you know, like, oh, what needs to be done? Are we safe? Have we got power? Like all the rest. And then this morning I'm just like, so sad. It is just so vast across the East Coast and I just can't cope.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. The thing that, yeah, no, we're same. We're up on a hill. We've been providing, you know, charging and washing services for friends who are in lower lying areas of our suburb, who have lost power, and it feels completely useless. But also, it's the thing we can do, right? We can plug a whole heap of devices in our sockets very easily, and we can also just run the machine as much as we need to. So, yeah, at the moment, it's sort of that real weird watch and wait, because obviously the floodwaters haven't all receded.
Yeah.
But yeah, the thing that broke me was in Lismore, people who were climbing inside their roofs and then, you know, inside their roof cavity and then trying to get through to be on their roof because obviously the water had come up so high on two-story houses, right? We're not talking low-lying single stories. And, you know, if you've got a tiled roof, then you can pop out a few tiles and you can get up there. But if you've got a tin roof, there was a woman who was talking about her neighbours, she could hear them banging and screaming inside their tin roof. And that, yeah, it's absolutely heartbreaking. So that's going on.
Yeah, and they're all built up high as well, you know.
Yeah, like, because they know it floods.
They know it floods.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so I do have a funny story. There you go.
Go. Hit us with a funny. We need a funny story, Rach.
Look, it's not even that funny. It's just the ridiculousness of parenthood.
Yeah, please.
So my little guy, who's six, for no reason whatsoever, just started vomiting on Saturday night.
Oh, God.
We went out to the movies. Oh, my God, we saw West Side Story. look, because we were a little bit lost with, like, what to do.
Yeah.
Because it was raining pretty persistently and we were kind of like, oh, what should we do? And no one wanted to see West Side Story but me. And even as a musical, it is so camp. It is, oh, it's just, oh. The sexual tension between those male gang groups, like off the charts. So anyway, so we're watching West Side Story, and he had like popcorn and ice cream for dinner. So we come home, he gets in bed and then sits bolt upright 10 minutes later, and he goes, I think I feel a bit blah. And he just spews the top bunk all over the floor.
Oh.
And the toys, and just catastrophic. So we bundle him out of bed, and then we were still up watching TV. So I put him on the couch, you know, bucket, towel, all of that. Good. Yep, we've got you, buddy. It's all good. Go back to sleep. Half an hour later, he sits bolt upright on the couch, not fast enough to get the bucket, and he just over the couch. Oh, so that was our night, Saturday night, and it was just driving rain, you know.
Yeah.
Pulled him into bed with me, and he kept waking up and vomiting, and he didn't have a temper or anything. He woke up on Sunday morning, he's, I'm completely fine, but he vomited 6 times.
God.
So we don't have a dryer at our house.
Oh.
This is not good. So we spent the day at the laundromat on Sunday.
A family outing to the laundromat.
It was a scene, I'm telling you. We were not the only people at the laundromat. So curious. So... and that was before a lot of the water started to really come up too bad, although, you know, it was starting to happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you were my neighbour, I'd be like, dryer, please. Could not wait.
Oh, man. But it just goes to show that even in the midst of all the other absolutely bonkers stuff that's going on, you still need to be a parent, right?
Yeah. Life goes on.
Life goes on.
Life still happens.
Yep, yep. The vomit still happens. Doesn't matter where you are. Oh, love. That's rough, but at least it's grounding.
This is correct. Again, something to do, right?
Yeah. The busyness of it. I like it. I cannot believe how much rain we've had. For our Australian listeners, obviously, they've probably been catching up on the news and understand it. But for those in the UK and the US and Canada and wherever else you're listening, we know you're there. We love you. We've had over a meter of rain in the last 5 days where we are. There are places that have had a meter and a half of rain, just absolutely bucketing down. Never in my entire life have I experienced this much water at once. It's just been extraordinary.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But hey, we're going to do Don't Look Up a little bit later in this season. So let's talk about climate change then, shall we?
Let's do it then. We won't talk about it now. We'll talk about a much more upbeat topic. No, we will not. This is not the upbeat episode. If you're here for upbeat, you've come to the wrong place today.
Timestamp, because you might not get to actually edit and upload this episode. It's Tuesday, right? It's the 1st of March. So
it is Tuesday, the 1st of March.
That's the fun situation currently.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you for that. But let's talk about what we came to talk about, because life goes on. Grace Tame, Brittany Higgins, hit me with the synopsis, Rach.
Look, I just thought this would be right up your alley, Nick. I thought, you know, this is just, I can feel Nicole burning to dismantle and have a bit of a chat about, you know, and it was a few weeks ago, 3-4 weeks, that there was a major kind of news event because these two women held a speech.
They did a speech at the National Press Club together.
Yeah. And it sort of just went really gangbusters. Like, all my socials were like, oh my God, you've got to hear this speech, you've got to hear this speech, you've got to hear this speech. I went and watched it in full. And then I went slightly viral because I posted, I had like a week before that, I had posted something about Grace Tame. And I got a few tens of thousands of likes and shares and stuff. Yay me. And so it's just something that has been very topical, although in this week's news cycle, nothing. But a few weeks ago, it was all over the place. So these two women have really formed a friendship around their advocacy work supporting victims of rape and child sexual assault. And I think, you know, so it's a wide-ranging topic, right?
Yeah.
In fact, I was kind of thinking like, hey, Nick, how about I be the child abuse expert and you can be the sexual harassment and abuse at work expert?
Sure. We can definitely split it in that way. I think it's important for everybody who doesn't know the full backstory. Brittany Higgins was a Liberal Party staffer who worked in Parliament House. In the midst of the challenging culture that is Parliament House, allegedly raped in Parliament House by a colleague, and was not brilliantly supported in any way by her party or her superiors. And then also Grace Tame became Australian of the Year in 2021 after a massive campaign in which she fought to be able to use her name, where she was sexually abused as a child in Tasmania, where she was groomed by a maths teacher and repeatedly sexually assaulted by him. There was a law that said she couldn't release her name. In sexual assault cases in Tasmania at the time, you couldn't say your name. And so she fought very hard with the assistance of a journalist to get the ability to use her name and to then advocate. And these two women have, as Rach said, formed this incredible friendship over trauma. And they've both been reliving it for the entirety of their past year and a bit.
Yeah. I think the thing is, I also, to be honest, I was a bit slow on the uptake with Brittany Higgins's story, because I was just doing a little bit of research before this episode. So the event that happened to her occurred in March 2019. Mm-hmm. This is Brittany Higgins and when we first heard about her. And then inspired by Grace's appointment as Australian of the Year, it came out to media sources. So I'm guessing it was February, March or April or something like that, early last year, 2021. Mm-hmm. After there had been, you know, 2 years of, I was going to say internal investigations, but I think stagnation. Of yeah. And I sort of, with the news cycle and all the busyness and all the stuff that's going on, I actually had not really tuned into her story in particular. I seem to recall there was all this other stuff around, you know, Better Than Me, Nick, the boys doing horrible things inside of their offices.
Yes, yes.
Am I right that this all happened around the same time last year?
Yeah, there was definitely a conflation of different kind of issues around Parliament and the culture and drinking and the kind of the way in which people are treated, and particularly women as political staffers, and the lack of protection they have, the way in which they're hired, the party kind of closing ranks and not wanting to talk about these things because obviously that's politically damaging. So, yeah, there was a lot of stuff that was going on around the same time. And you're right, she was inspired watching Grace Tame accept her Australian of the Year award, the speech that she gave, to then go, no, it's time. And it's incredible because it's really started quite the avalanche in Australia of our kind of Me Too movement, I guess, a little bit, but also just a real feminist angle of the idea that we're just not going to take it anymore. Women of a particular generation, mine, I guess, and older, you're probably a little bit younger, Rach, and can get into the
so
angry kind of so much younger. But there was absolutely a culture of, and, you know, I've worked in Parliament House. I am very fortunate that the parliamentarian I worked for just would have, you know, fellow parliamentarians come over to our office of an evening for a curry and a beer and a bit of a session on the guitars. Like, you stayed well away from it. But you certainly heard the stories. You certainly knew that there was a lot of drinking, a lot of carry-on going on, and just how dangerous that mix is of being in a bubble of a place where, you know, the normal rules of home don't apply necessarily, and also just adding alcohol and late nights and all that sort of thing to the mix. So, yeah, it's such an incredible topic to broach and to get out in the open to sort of make sure that those working conditions are a lot safer, in particular for women in Parliament House.
For sure. And what was the story that there was no code of conduct?
Right? Yeah. Well, the people who are appointed or who get jobs in Parliament House are usually political appointees, right? So you are a member of a party. And as that party, you sort of submit your CV and say, look, I'm interested in this, that or the other, or you have personal relationships and you get a job based on that. And then, of course, there's this real sense that what's best for the party. And it in the Liberal Party got to the point where what's best for the party absolutely trumped, you know, complete illegality or alleged illegality that's going through the courts at the moment. And human decency that she, you know, Brittany came to her superiors and was completely unsupported when she reported this alleged crime, that Parliament House security guards noticed an unkempt, undressed woman getting signed in by someone else who did, they both didn't have their passes, and just let it all happen, and then later found her in a state of undress and, you know, just closed the door. Like, it's astounding what was able to happen in that circumstance. And the fact that she then waited or sort of held that to herself for all that time until, you know, Grace Tame came out and said, this is what happened to me. It's not okay. We have to talk about this. That gave her the impetus and the courage and the feeling of solidarity that women who report these things really need to feel in order to sort of put themselves in really vulnerable positions and report these things, and then, of course, become media whirlwinds.
Yeah. And there was all this hubbub around who knew what, you know. And I think it does sound like part of the structure of Canberra is that the culture is that it's a little bit like Vegas. Everyone's sort of away from their normal life, and whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But also just this idea of, you know, where are the reporting lines? Who has seniority? What role does the Prime Minister himself have? But to me, more importantly, is also what us bloody women are trying to advocate for is cultural change.
Mm-hmm.
I actually really don't care what Scott Morrison thinks about the situation. In fact, I've loved the fact that he's been shown to be a complete PG word, nupty. It's this one of these things where it's like, just let him try and respond and demonstrate his naivety and lack of awareness of the problem, the gendered politics that exist, you know, not just in his workplace, but in so many. So, you know, famously, he sort of came out and said, oh, you know, my wife has, you know, had a chat with me, and she's kind of communicated like, so this Brittany person, like, she's a woman, and you're two girls, like, they'll be women one day, and I'm a woman. So, you know, maybe you should care. And he's like, oh, penny is dropping.
Yeah.
And it's not the first time a leader has done the whole as a husband, as a father kind of thing. So the powerful thing that Brittany said at the press club address was, I wanted action and leadership. I didn't even want empathy, and certainly not secondhand empathy.
What was the quote? It was, I didn't want the Prime Minister to respond as a father. I wanted him to respond as a Prime Minister.
Yeah. We'll quote it and put it on our socials, hey?
Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think, can you hear the steam rising in my voice?
Yeah. And can you feel it in mine? The thing that's extraordinary is that Grace Tame, at the end of her reign of Australian of the Year, was invited to a reception for the Australian of the Year nominees for 2022. And as the Australian of the Year 2021, Grace Tame was invited to that. Now, knowing all of the things that she has said about Scott Morrison in the past and how unhappy she's been with the inaction of his government, they staged this photo op out the front of Scott and Jeremy Morrison greeting, you know, people as they walked in. And of course, Grace Tame was not playing. She was not going to play that game. She was not going to be somebody's photo op. She went in, she shook hands. She actually shook hands and smiled with Jeremy Morrison, but did not smile during the photo op, just stony-faced. And her partner, Max, stony-faced, actually fiancé now. But the furor about this woman who just deigned not to smile in a photograph, it just brought up all those feelings of being a woman told to smile. And it was extraordinary the way that men in particular were saying how impolite and how ridiculous it was and how she couldn't even smile for 1 second. And then women going, wait a minute, we don't have to smile.
I know. Again, perfectly made almost. These white men dinosaurs going, ooh, she should smile. I just sort of, it. You know Hannah Gadsby, I think it's in Douglas, how she's like, oh, I love trolls, I feed off them, num, 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 num.
Yep.
I feel a bit like that. This was not a setup to make you look like a, what'd you say, numpty?
Yes.
This was not a numpty trap. You're just falling into numpty traps, and I'm sitting here going like, no, 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 no. Oh, where? I love this let her smile thing. Oh, sorry, make her smile.
Mm-hmm.
Make her smile. You know, her job is to be an advocate and stand up for people who need protection.
Yeah.
The irony of the fact that she was groomed by the male in power and forced to submit to his needs over her own, just the parallel with that. It was just like, hello, what do you think is going on here? Can I read to you my Facebook post? Because I was proud of it.
Please do.
Because I was sitting at it was the 30th of January. It was extended school holidays.
And oh, they were long. They were long.
Talk about trauma. side story, I was sitting at the Chandler pool complex waiting for my family, and we're obsessed with Chandler. Brisbane people, go check out Chandler, because you can't do the diving, but you can watch the diving.
Ooh.
And these amazing like deep pools, and they have the ski jumps that go into the pool.
Fun.
I know. And on a Sunday afternoon, you know the old-fashioned water slides from our childhood, like just a tube slide?
Yes.
Ben's going to me, every local pool when I was a kid had a like tube slide. He's like, you don't see them anymore. Mm-hmm. So there's one at Chandler, and it's every Sunday at like 1 till 4 or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. So I went out somewhere in the morning, and then I got to the pool before my family, and I was waiting for them. I was just like, my blood is boiling. And I was like, let her speak, which is her organization. Let her speak based on the campaign that was saying, I'm not legally allowed to speak, and yet my abuser is out there boasting about his crimes. Let her speak, don't make her smile. And the first thing I did is I googled, let her speak, don't make her smile. I was like, there's got to be a meme out there somewhere. And it wasn't, so I made one.
Nice.
And here's what I said. A little note about trauma. We all need to become more trauma sensitive and trauma informed. Anyone who even for a moment criticized Grace Tame for her stony-faced reception of the Prime Minister this week does not know enough about trauma. When interpersonal trauma occurs, it's always because a person, often already vulnerable for many reasons, is placed in a position where another's needs are put ahead of their own. Interpersonal traumas are abuses of power. Grace throughout the years has been critical of the Prime Minister and his naivety about interpersonal trauma and the systems of power that allow, minimise or ignore it. She's perceived that this man, through his words and actions, does not seek to meaningfully introspect or change. He has not listened. He has not heard. She wants to speak. She deserves to be heard, understood and protected. She wants that for all who are survivors like her. This is not a time to smile. Her quote, child sexual abuse and cultures that enable it still exist. Her critics have proved her right in that statement this week. A culture that tells a woman she has to be polite and smile and avoid discomfort while excusing or celebrating that same behaviour in a man is part of our problem. It's still all of Australia's problem. Mm-hmm. Her quote again, trauma does not discriminate, nor does it end when the abuse itself does. The effects of interpersonal trauma ripple out to all parts, your sense of self, your mindsets, your neurological wiring, your sense of safety and trust, your confidence. We stand with Grace. You darling, fantastic, inspiring woman of integrity, you are not alone. You have a chorus behind you singing your praise. When you speak, we will repeat it for you. We'll add our voices and together we're heard. You've done everything anyone could ever ask of you this year, and it's been tough. You can rest and take a break and feel cocooned by all your supporters. Your voice will be echoed by us.
Oh, goosebumps.
Thank you, my darling.
Yeah.
These were quotes taken from her Australian of the Year commencement speech.
Yeah.
Did anybody listen to that speech?
Clearly not.
What did they hear?
Yeah.
These numpties.
These numpties. And that's the thing. She's not changed.
No.
She has not changed. She's said from the very beginning that she wants to advocate for people like her. She has absolutely relived her trauma out in the open, consistently, constantly, every day, inside of her, and then as a almost performatively for people because they expect something of the Australian of the Year. Like it's extraordinary what we have expected of a 26-year-old young woman who at 15 was already, you know, traumatized, having been molested as a child, having parents who were divorced and quite bitterly, having body issues and being anorexic and being hospitalized for that. Already that is enough. And then, you know, using that abuse, she gets groomed and then is abused further and further and further still. And then we give her an award and somebody expects that she's going to smile about it. Like, and the astounding thing to me, and I think Jane Carrow, another social commentator, amazing feminist of the generation above mine, was saying these young feminists are teaching us, because we were told that our feminism had to be constrained by what was acceptable within the society that we were operating in. Yeah. You know, I remember getting really angry at I was, you know, obviously as a member of the Labor Party, very, very strident in my opposition to abortion being part of the criminal code, have been advocating since I was 14 years old to get abortion decriminalized. And we were in a meeting with a whole bunch of grown people, grown women, and they were saying, we can't scare the horses on this. We can't scare the horses. And I just... I don't give a shit about the horses. The horses we're talking about can't get pregnant. The horses we're talking about don't need abortions, don't ever want to. Those horses are not in this race.
Oh, and just that, the whole kind of, I can't remember where the quote was from. It's really famous. But that idea that, like, men's worst fear is that a woman's going to laugh at them.
Humiliation.
Yeah.
And a woman's...
Exactly. And a woman's worst fear is that a man's going to murder her.
Uh-huh.
Like, just, again, who's the snowflake? You know, the horses cannot be scared.
Mm. Oh.
You've got to package the message in a way that's going to, you know, appeal.
Yeah.
You know, I think we need all of it, actually. We need many voices. And so the link I sent you to the podcast interview with Grace.
Astounding, brilliant, loved it.
You liked it?
Yeah, really loved it.
So it was with Mia Friedman. And what I thought was great is that she's just like, I'm really struggling. I've been re-traumatized by this year. She's developed a bond with Rosie Batty, so former Australian of the Year, who also was rewarded for her advocacy and fundraising work around domestic violence.
After her son was struck and killed by a cricket bat in front of his entire cricket team by his dad.
Horrifying. After there were all sorts of alerts to authorities.
Mm-hmm.
And no real teeth to protect that family.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, the blindness to think that someone who's been through that kind of trauma can in any way, I mean, their resiliency to be trolled publicly. Yeah. I just, you know, I think that's why I was getting a bit kind of maternal in the end of my Facebook post. I'm like, man,
you're
still standing.
Yeah, exactly. How is it that you are?
You know, and her sense of humour and the grubbiness that's happened, like last week with the picture of her holding a bong. Okay, yeah. Was she a troubled teen? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Did she smoke marijuana? Like many, many people. What is the point? Did we think we were going to discredit this young woman by sharing a photo of her holding a bong?
And also, to what end? I just, my question around that is, why are these people trying to discredit her?
Yeah.
And it is very clearly, little woman, shut up, back in your box, which is a message that so many of us have heard over so many years. And damn it, we're going to stand on the box now. So sorry, not getting in it, standing on it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, look, I just, you know, the thing is, as a social scientist, there is a lot known actually about domestic violence and child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot known about what maintains it.
Hurt people hurt people?
Look, you know, yes, that's there's the intergenerational thing, but the environment that creates the opportunity for that abuse is all about silencing and stigma and shaming and pointing your finger at the person, you know, the victim rather than the perpetrator.
Yeah.
Even though usually as a psychologist I'm working with the victim and not the perpetrator, we also work with the perpetrators because, as you say, hurt people hurt people. But these are systems that create perpetrators as much as they are creating victims. And there's just really junk knowledge out there about child sexual abuse in particular.
Yeah. What are some of the myths that you want to dispel right now, Rach?
I feel like it's a dumb one, but the idea that you're more at risk of abduction by a stranger than someone inside your own home.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't everyone myth. Know that by now?
Myth busted.
The idea that children will make up these sorts of accusations in order to God knows what.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's something that's thrown at grown women, but it applies even less for children.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that when it comes to sexual abuse, it's not the genital touching that causes harm.
Yeah.
It is the emotional suffering of being pulled into this person's orbit.
The manipulation, the betrayal.
The disintegration of your sense of self.
Mm-hmm.
It is all of that that allows the touching of the genitals to happen and to continue.
Yeah.
And
stripping of agency completely.
Absolutely. And I think it's allowed to thrive because as a culture we just want to turn away. We just don't want to know. We're just, that's not going to happen, nah. But, you know, it's, I think something like 1 in 4 girls,
mm-hmm.
1 in 7 or 8 boys or something. I seem to have 1 in 6 in mind, but it's kind of like every year that goes on, there's more and more. The proportion shrinks.
Mm.
There's more and more known incidents of this stuff. You know, but actually I think another, I could rattle off all the myths, but I actually think the main one that I want to emphasize is that there's a lot of potential for healing and growth also.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be through therapy, by the way. It does not. I think therapy is one tool.
Yep.
But if you're going to a psychologist that's not trauma-informed, it's not going to be helpful.
Yeah.
I think humans have always helped each other through hardships with compassion, understanding, support, resourcing. And now I'm just going to go full circle to the flood disaster, right?
Mm.
Bad stuff happens and it's always happened. And when we turn away from someone who's in need, that's the real tragedy, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, I think, really demonstrates how important that friendship is of Grace and Brittany and how, you know, the support of one another, the idea that elevating one another's voices and joining together is power. You know, they're using the power that they have, and that is their voice, and that is their friendship and their solidarity. And that is something that we can absolutely take away from this situation. You know, I remember after Julia Gillard's misogyny speech, having a conversation with Big One at the time about the things that had occurred in my childhood or my growing up that you just accepted as part of being a woman, because part of being a woman is being in service to to men's needs, and also be, you know, boys will be boys, blah, blah, blah. The great thing about these two women and the way in which they have banded together and used their voices is to say, we're here, we're loud, we're going to speak. We don't answer to any of you. We are individual agents of our own human existence, and we're not going to buy into that BS societal crap anymore. And it's so challenging, obviously, to the people for whom the status quo has really been working.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and I think too, their advocacy to me is so important, because the number of times I've been able to say to a client of mine, you are just like this person, right? Like, you might not have the platform, you might not be on the global stage, you might not be articulating what's going on for you in quite, I mean, Grace Tame is so articulate, like, she's a natural writer. She has a way with words. I wish in this moment I could break confidentiality. I'd tell you stories about these women I have in my mind who I talk to, where I say to them, it is changing, you know. The legal system is broken. Yep. It is so hard to get a conviction in a sexual assault case. It is literally so impossible that most people don't even try.
Yep.
And I so would love to see there be the kind of change that means there actually are avenues for people, not just to speak, but to actually have authorities listen and change their processes.
Yeah.
I just don't think there's going back from here.
No, I agree. Isn't it wonderful?
I hope so. Let's leave it on that, right?
Absolutely. Change is coming and it's great.
Yeah. Even though this is a bit dismal, it's been a nice distraction from floodwaters. And
yes,
I hope that people are able to stick this in their ears while they're sweeping mud from their floors.
Exactly. Knowing that we are there in solidarity, I know that Mud Army 2.0 is, you can sign up to be a volunteer. So that's something that we can absolutely do to help out our fellow Queenslanders. But wherever you are, there are big things happening in the world, and you don't have to change the world, but you can change the world for someone near you by being a listening ear, by scraping the mud off their driveway, by, you know, putting a load of washing on, by being a friend. And so, Rach, I appreciate you and I love you.
I love you too.
So next week, next fortnight, moving on to a different topic.
Yeah, but it's also really dismal. So some of these topics are kind of like old ones that we should have got to 2 years ago. So what's next up on the agenda is our contagion.
So much to talk about there. But also, it's an evolving situation consistently, so there's always something to say. So we look forward to having a chat to you about that in a couple of weeks. You can find us, as per usual, on Facebook at Pop the Kettle On, It's Always Tea Time, at Pop_Kettle on the Twitterers. You can find the Little Shop of Pop on Facebook as well. And of course, you can find us in your ears, whichever platform you listen to podcasts through. And don't forget to rate and subscribe, obviously, and give us a like and a review. All that sort of good stuff helps other people find us.
Take care, everyone.
Yeah. So until next time. But in the meantime, Rach,
hug your babies.
Yeah. Can you give your babies hugs from me too, please?
You too.
Thanks, love. And be kind to yourselves and one another if you can. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye. You've been listening to A Little Shop of Pop production. Pop the Kettle On is hosted by Wooshka and is edited and produced by me, Nicole Lissio, and Dr. Rachel Bushing, with production help from the fabulous Palak. Talk to you next time.